Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay. We in March.
March Madness.
March Madness. I can't wait.
It's here.
Yeah, it's been a year.
Man, right? It's been a year. I was thinking like high school basketball, looking at the boys and girls, kids playing three games a week. Muskegon adjusting. What I'm finding out about Muskegon is they have a lot of great individual players.
Right.
And what they're figuring out is how to play together under Coach Guy.
Yep.
Because I done seen seven different people lead the team in scoring.
Yeah.
Somebody done hit 20 more or more points in the last seven games.
Okay.
A different player has either scored 20 or above.
Mm-hmm.
A different player. So that means that the system's working and the coaches know what's going on. But
right.
The kids ain't all the way in sync yet.
No, they haven't got it. I think that East game kind of showed that, okay, where they didn't play as well as they're capable, and then they had to bounce back against West.
That's right.
West, and it showed that, you know, there were some things going on in that East game that they just couldn't figure out, but I think they're on the right track.
Yeah, so. I seen that, and here's a flaw of young teams, because I remember playing Grand Haven coaching. And what they do is they are real methodical.
Oh, yeah.
Play when those senior-led teams, because East got it, they got five, six seniors.
Yeah.
So they run in the system. They run in the system, and they're looking for particular things, either the three-pointer at the top, the big guy in the post, or that back door on the opposite cut on the opposite side was killing our guys.
Yep.
Because they want to please the coach so much and say, I got my man. They got caught chasing.
Over defense.
Yep. And I know coaching, I've watched Coach Guy go over defense more than he does anything.
Yeah.
So I know they were prepared, and I know he was pissed. And I'm saying it on here. I know he was. Because that's all he does in practice. He said, don't let nobody beat you back, though. Don't let nobody beat you. And I seen it happen. I was like, oh, they about to get it. Because
yeah, I had to talk to him about that. And he was saying, you know, he wanted to take his time because they are young.
Yeah.
But after that game, he said the gloves came off.
Yeah.
And
because it was immature mistake.
Yeah,
it wasn't the coaching fault, because I was like, that's all he teach is don't let nobody cut across your face.
Yeah,
run them off their path. I've seen him do it, and that's what he's known for, teaching mm-hmm. defense.
Yeah, and they beat West by about almost 30 points.
Yep,
and West lost to East by 5 points. It was the last time they played.
So there
East
go.
Beat them by only 5 points. So
that is
they know they got the people, they got the pieces. It's just they got to put them all together at one time. So that game is the last game of the regular season when East comes to the Redmond Potter Gym. So
yep.
That's going to be hopefully we'll have more fans too for that.
Yeah, and that'll be a good week because they got Kalamazoo too coming up too, don't they?
This weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's good. So they got these tests put in place.
Lansing-Waverly is also on that schedule. And those are the only non-conference games. The rest of them are all conference games coming up. After that, they got like four road games in the coming weeks. So,
okay.
But yeah, he's getting ready for the tournament.
Yeah, you can't fault it. I mean, those games, naming those games and the games he had previously, they're gonna be ready because I'm watching that. I'm real particular about watching. Okay, 20, he got 20, then he got 20, then
you're right.
And he's not letting them just jack the ball up. They're getting it in the system.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hold on, some things happening. They're learning, and we still got some mistakes, but we're gonna grow further. But that's high school, but the game of the week is Michigan State. Was you going to say something else about the high school?
The doubleheader.
Man.
They got to play them right. Almost back-to-back, isn't it?
It's called the Michigan week. That's what
it is.
It's
the Michigan week? Okay.
I think the ratings going to be high for ESPN.
Oh, there's no doubt. I think tonight, Wednesday night, we're pre-recording, of course. But
yes.
And I think, again, maybe the weekend they play again.
That's right.
Because the Big Ten tournament starts next week. So the Big Ten season is just about over. So
it's nothing but a 30-minute drive, really.
That's it.
Depending on what highway you take.
How fast you drive.
Yeah, 30 minutes when I was, you know, I'm 20s in the Cutlass, so I'm getting into the D.
Yeah.
I'm getting to Ypsilanti because that's where we was hanging out after the game anyway.
Right.
In Ypsi.
Which is definitely a short trip. So it's going to be interesting because, you know, State is fighting to make the list.
Yeah. So look at the wins. Indiana. Illinois.
Yeah.
They beat some big teams, and they lost to Maryland, but Maryland has exceptional guard play, so I knew that was going to happen. And we don't have exceptional guard play. Unfortunately, we recruited some high guys.
But they're just not ready.
They're not ready.
So, Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The Big Ten is going to make some noise in this tournament. Okay? There's a lot of good teams in the country.
Yep.
But I think the Big Ten right now is probably, in my opinion, the best league in America.
I would say that too.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them have six teams in the dance, if not more.
I'm going to say this. I saw an ad where they said 10.
10. That's almost all of them, man.
That's 12. We got, I think it's 13 in, man. So that's seeing 10 teams make it. I'm going to count it off now if I can do my best.
Okay.
We got Iowa.
Yep.
Illinois.
Yep.
These for showers.
Yep.
Michigan.
Yep.
Purdue.
Ohio State. Yep.
Them for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Probably Wisconsin, Minnesota.
Minnesota. Penn State. Sound crazy.
And Rutgers is playing good basketball.
Rutgers is 9. Who the 10th one? Indiana?
Might be
Indiana.
Yeah. So.
Because all those teams got big losses because they've been hooping.
Yeah. Yeah, the Big Ten tournament, which will be in Indianapolis. That's going to be a good tournament.
Yeah, because in Nebraska, no.
No.
Maryland probably, they playing between Penn State and Maryland. Them two.
Yeah, Maryland and Northwestern. Yep. Those three probably won't make it.
That's it.
But I think, you know, again, that tournament's going to tell a lot about who gets seeded. You know, this is just regular season. And the Selection Sunday looks at that Big Ten tournament.
And they still going to have that. How they going to have that? They're going to be in Indiana or Chicago?
It's at Indianapolis.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're going to quarantine everybody.
Then. Everybody get quarantined in Indianapolis.
Stay in a hotel right down the street. I know where, right where they're going to have them at.
Yep. So they're trying to pull this thing out without a hiccup because just about everybody in the Big Ten at some point in time has had a pause due to COVID.
Yep.
So they realize that the potential for that to come up again is great, and they're going to try to protect that tournament. Or that's huge. A lot of money.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of money. Speaking of money, I mean, I hear some, I don't want to say weird things, but how our economy is shifting. I see the renewable energy. It's really a push for that.
Yes.
That's happening. And then the social media stuff with the, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it was saying like the sex trade workers they're getting ready to work on a deal to clear them where they can have more pathways of doing what they do, where they won't have to be.
And the black
criminalized,
market.
Yes.
Yeah, the dark web.
Dark
where
web.
Where they mostly operate at.
Yeah, I've been hearing that and hearing it on the radio and seeing things about it, articles, and I'm like, wow, it's a real push for an economy for legalized marijuana and legalized sex.
Well, look at gambling, right?
Yeah, and that's it. That's okay. At the forefront.
See, all these vices now are becoming
commodities.
Commodities that create a tax base. And you know, for years, you know, you had the illegal underground lottery.
That's right.
And the state took over that and realized how lucrative it was. And then it came up with marijuana, right? The taxes on marijuana. We always had booze and cigarettes. That's already been out there. The sin tax is basically what they call it.
Yep.
And they're just looking at ways to bring in revenue, man. And the last one is the sex trade.
Wow.
Right, wrong, or indifferent.
Yep. I know. See, my mama not alive right now. My mama hearing that, like, what? The weed and the tricks is out here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's no, I don't know of any vices that's left, man.
Yeah, like, you know? If you texting, that's, wow. I can't imagine my parents today.
And there's even, I think the state of Washington had been even kicking around the idea of legalizing heroin.
Yeah, I heard that because, you know, Washington always has a, epidemic in that state.
Yeah.
Especially in the Seattle area.
Yep, yes. Seattle's been hit hard. And the thinking behind it is they need to regulate it only for the simple reason that there are so many deaths.
Yeah, because of fentanyl.
Yeah.
Because it's a chemistry drug.
It's a chemistry drug.
So then if the chemist is not smart enough, you're making the wrong stuff. You're
making the wrong stuff, man. You know, we see it right here in Muskegon.
Yeah,
we have the same thing is happening, man.
And like people talk about COVID deaths and a bed being open, we always had the pandemic, the epidemic of heroin in Muskegon, where we always had somebody die every day.
Oh yeah,
it was a person overdosing every day.
Every day, yep. You know, it's just not newsworthy.
Yeah, it's not newsworthy. And I'm gonna share something with you. Like I jog in my own space now. And like I pick an area and I stay there. But when I first started, I used to jog around the city, right? Mm-hmm. And I used to jog in neighborhoods. And I remember one summer, I saved about 6 lives jogging.
Wow.
Because I can tell you, I remember one so clearly. It was a guy at a stoplight. I thought he was sleeping, but he was overdosed. And then when I said, I got him out the car, laid him down, did whatever I was supposed to do before he could still be breathing, parked his car, and then the firemen came. Somebody called 911 that saw me jogging. I said, call 911. It was a lady. They came, and I knew the guy, the fireman.
Okay.
That came. He said, man, Chinese, you know how many we get of these? He said, we get about 4 or 5 of these calls a day.
That's
it was
a
from
lot.
Muskegon on Hikes Fire Department told me.
Man.
He said, we get about 4 or 5 of these a day where they don't even know that somebody saved their life.
Right.
So they just wake up like, oh. And the guy woke up like, oh.
They used the EpiPen or whatever they got?
Got him, brought him back. He said, he probably don't even know that you saved his life. So he gonna go back and do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's what the paramedic told me, and I was just like, wow. On the fire truck, because the ambulance and the fire truck came, he was like, thanks, but he said he might be back, and I was like, whoa.
You repeat customer?
Yeah.
That's good, man.
That scared me. Like, that's a real issue in our city, and
Yes, it is.
I couldn't get past it, but we've been talking at the school where. March 13th is very significant for us. We call it Friday the 13th because that's the day we stopped having school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we had a year at the anniversary coming up, and we got this project called the Hope Project that we're working on. But then speaking of that, I know the tax date has been pushed back, you know.
Okay.
So we got taxes coming up, and then I was just thinking, I was reading articles, and I got things, money moves to make now. And in the article, it talks about fine-tuning your portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you as you're not only just an insurance broker, you under insurance, you would do investment portfolios for people. And I was reading the article and it was talking about the contents and the categories of people's portfolios like stocks, bonds, and other cash securities.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, I was like, okay, I know Tony manages a significant amount of people's portfolios in this city and other states and other places.
Yep.
And I was wondering, I said, okay, I see this article, I understand that. But I wanted to know from your perspective, how was it for you when the pandemic happened and you had to work with your clients? How did you fine-tune their portfolios?
Okay, basically, once this information became public, right?
Yes.
Because
it was private first.
There was others that knew about this pandemic.
They made money over it.
Yes, they have. And these were, leaders of our country, if you will.
That's right.
That profited off of this this pandemic. And when it became, and we even discussed that on the show as far as the financial impact that this would have on this country. And being, I've gone through a couple of these situations that created just havoc in the stock market. One was, 08, when the financial bubble, and the other was the World Trade Center,
yes.
Right? And both of those impacted the stock market in a way where, with my understanding of how it works, I knew I had to move people's money just for the simple reason that the decline was going to be steep and fast. So you have people that have been invested in this market for most of their working lives. So they've amassed a pretty good amount of money. And you don't risk that when there is an horizon for retirement. It's basically called preservation of capital. I've done well, but now my main goal is to preserve what I have. I'm not willing to take risk.
Am I riding no dips?
That I would take in my 20s or my 30s, right? These people are in their late 40s, early 50s with a horizon for retirement. So you have to react differently to those kinds of situations. Basically what I did is took all my clients and placed that money in what we call government securities. And it's pretty safe, right? There's no adverse effect on those dollars when it comes to the market, because you're basically taking them out of the market. And so, you just have to sit back and you have to gauge on how we are handling this pandemic. So there at some point in time, it looked like that the bottom, it had bottomed out. And for the most part, some people that are, you know, in charge of leading this country acknowledged it and talked about, okay, these are the things that we need to do to get ready to get through this pandemic. And so that was a bump in the market. So we go back in. But then as this thing went on for a few more months, and then I noticed the administration really turning a blind eye to it, I said, there's going to be more downs in this market because we're not taking the positive necessary steps to stop it or to address it almost on a global scale, because this not only hurt, you know, in the United States, but this was a global pandemic.
Yeah, we got global, and then plus we're a global economy.
And global economy.
We got that free commerce where we trade and everything. And
well, and the travel, right? The travel, it's about world travel. So as you travel, you transmit this pandemic, this virus, and it affects all parts of the country. And at that point, I decided it's not worth the risk for my clients to be in the market. So we're just going to go to the sideline and basically went to cash. So that's what I did. And looking for, as far as rebalancing portfolios, you have to take a look at what areas did the best during the pandemic and how they're going to survive post-pandemic. And I think we all realized that this work at home, virtual learning, it may not have, it may not be 100%, but there's always going to be a certain segment of this economy that is going to be working from home or virtual learning. And those are the companies that we need to look at as far as investing for the future.
Yep, like Google. They were talking about that. Google was like, we're going to figure out how to work at home. AT&T, Apple.
Yeah, Amazon, all of them. The major companies. You know why? Because when you operate in a brick and mortar, there's a fixed cost that regardless of what happens, that fixed cost is always there to maintain a building.
Yep.
Okay. And the heat, the insurance, all that has to do with your bottom line. And they realize that people have actually been more productive working from home. And there's a cost savings to the bottom line because they don't have to pay for, you know, to rent out huge spaces to house hundreds and thousands of people. They can work from home. And then that also saves the commuting on your employees. Their expenses go down as well.
Wow. So that's
win-win.
That's the big picture of all the money.
Yeah. Yeah. It's here to stay. A certain segment of it. I would say 10 to 15% of this economy is going to be work at home and virtual, even travel as far as business. Business travel is not going to be the same anymore. Not when you can do it on a virtual basis.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. I've had so many meetings in this last year, and we were working on something the other day, and the things we accomplished in the pandemic, I don't even think we could have did in person.
No, you couldn't. It was impossible.
Yeah, we had so many meetings virtually that some good things have come out of it,
mm-hmm.
right? But you still want to be able to say, okay, now we need to interact.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to take the good and the bad with the bad, too, in the same space. But my question is, when it comes to retooling an investment, like you said, brick and mortar, mm-hmm. you talk about the GameStops, brick and mortar when you're talking about
people that want to go and shop in malls.
Yes, all those investments are shifting.
Yeah.
Like Nike.com, I'm a Nike guy.
Right.
So like I got a friend that works with Jordan, so he usually tell me like, "John, it's a 30% off. You can get my discount this time for these 2 months. You go pick something at the store." I used to go to the outlet
mm-hmm.
and I used to have this coupon I had on my phone. Now I'm like, I just go online, man. I'm straight. I ain't got time for all that waiting in the line and everything. And so now it's going to go towards this online, like Amazon. I had to return some equipment. I ain't talk to nobody.
Nope.
Everything was a chat room.
Yeah.
Chat room. They said they're going to charge this, return this product for this. So now I just look at when it comes to investing, it's going to go through all this virtual knowledge stuff.
Yes, it is. You know, outlets will still be here, right? But instead of having, for an example, 100, you're going to have only 50. Okay, you're going to be very strategic as far as where you place those at. You won't be in every zip code. So, therefore, again, you're going to have the same amount of distribution, but it won't be having to do walk-up that's going to be the difference. People have become so comfortable with the Amazon trucks pulling up to their door, dropping off their packages. You know, I mean, even the grocery stores, right? They're in on it. Now you can go, you can
Dash and then Uber and Uber and bring me my food and bring me my groceries, bring me my kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You can push a button and you bring everything to you.
So, you know, there's still going to be a certain segment of the population that wants to go out and have dinner, right? And that it won't be as frequently as it has been. And they're going to be with those that say, I feel so much comfortable being at home, having it dropped off at my door, that that dynamic is going to change how we do business.
So this, we got tax season coming up. I know I had some pointers and some tips and just some questions about the trimming your tax bill. Now, we in Michigan, right? So this big old thing about this unemployment benefits that these people been getting, I've been seeing things where people been using somebody's Social Security multiple times, making claims at jobs. They at the job, they're like, I wasn't laid off. I got an unemployment claim.
Right.
And this has been going on. We got people that don't have a job, but then on the flip side, we have businesses like yourself, small businesses that took a hit. Mm-hmm. What are the benefits in it for you other than the PPP loan?
That's it.
But
that's basically it. And, you know, the good thing about the insurance industry, it was kind of on that path anyway of a virtual customer service. To whereas you set everything up on, you know, you may have that initial sit-down meeting with that customer to explain the coverages that they have. But when it comes to actually servicing that client, it was all basically internet-based. Okay, they set up their payments through their bank account, their credit card. You would always e-sign. You could e-sign. You never had to come in and actually do any kind of wet signatures. And that industry was a little bit ahead of everybody else in that respect of trying to do it from a virtual standpoint. So it wasn't as difficult as some businesses that, you know, depended on people to come through their doors in order to drive revenue. Whereas you could do everything computer based, you could, you know, do quotes, send them back to them, never have to meet them. So the insurance industry didn't really take a huge hit. Other than, they lost some revenue, but during the pandemic, they gave a lot of rebates back, right? Because people weren't driving as much. And everything is based on the amount of miles that you drive. So if you're not driving that much, your insurance rates goes down, your accidents goes down. All these things come to the bottom line in the insurance industry, and that's why they were able to give away these rebates during that period of time.
Okay, so that's how that business adjusted to the pandemic. And then just looking at tax time, because I wanted to talk to some tax accountants about that, because if all these claims being, unemployment claims being made, and then some of them being made falsely.
Oh, a huge percentage of them being falsely. I mean, in every state.
Yeah, so when somebody say, when they file their taxes, they're going to get them.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, a lot of this stuff has been even from overseas, right? They got guys that's sitting in rooms, and they're stealing identities and basically doing everything electronically, right? Because you never had to walk, you know, in the old days, it was an unemployment office. You had to go stand in line.
Man, forever. Okay. I remember the, you know about it, Martin Lawrence, when he had that episode, when he stood in line, like, I want a job that do this, and they put him in Hoochie Burger.
Right.
and he stayed there for a day. But that's the old school unemployment, where you could just go.
In person.
Yep, go in person. And,
you know.
And fill that application out. They show you how to do the resume and do all the things with you. Now it's just like, you go online, you checking the app.
You're doing everything online, man, or you're calling Marvin through a phone call or what have you. So, you know, again, that's part of the transformation of how we do business in America.
And it's glitchy and it's a loophole.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely some risk involved when you're taking on that kind of a endeavor.
Wow, that's stuff that make you think that, man. So when it, like you said, you're readjusting to these people's portfolios, you're pulling money out, but what happens when it comes to their tax bill? Like, okay, you pull out at the time, and then they didn't invest, or they did invest.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that look for tax time for them? Like, okay, I was putting this money in and invested, but then I froze it for a period. It's just on the reporting at the end of the year?
Yeah, basically what it does is it's like a 1099 where you get a report on what you received as far as
dividends
and profits. And the good thing about retirement accounts, though, is they're a little bit different than when a brokerage account. Retirement accounts are the IRS takes a lenient type of a view, where they don't slam you with capital gains.
Because it's long term.
Because it's long term.
It's like you're investing in the country for the long term.
Yep. You pay when you take actual possession. But if you have a brokerage account where you basically buy, sell stocks, at the end of the year, you still have a tax event with the IRS based on how well you did in the market. So, you know, a lot of these guys are smart enough to know, you know, every once in a while you got to go out and buy you a dog so you can show some losses.
That's right.
And that's kind of how they, you know, they play this game. So, yeah, the average American that has a retirement account, they really don't have to pay that huge tax bill until they actually take possession of that money. So it's, you know, it's still evolving, this tax code. Of course, with Trump administration, there were a lot of tax cuts supposedly in that administration. And the Biden administration is looking more at increasing taxes for those that are rich. Right, wrong, or indifferent. They just said that they need to pay their fair share.
So then, like, okay, well, look at this part. So then when it comes to payroll tax, or like a person that's working remotely from home, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I used to work at an insurance company. Now I'm working from home.
Okay.
How does that calculate it? They still get their same paycheck.
Yeah.
But then now their home space become a taxable event.
Absolutely.
A room in their house, right?
Yep. And that formula is whatever percentage of that square footage, I'm just as an example, we'll just say the home is a 1,000 square foot home, and you utilize 250 feet of the space for your home office. So you get to deduct 25% of everything of your household expenses, be it gas, lights, utilities, insurance. You can actually deduct 25% of those numbers because that's the percentage of use of the house that you have for your home office. That's the tax break you get for working at home. It's based on that square foot area.
So actually a benefit for you to take the risk of having your business the company that you work for being at home, they don't have to pay overhead for custodians, cleanup, and all that. So you get a rebate in your job.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, the other piece is, especially in your larger metropolitan areas where people, their commute would be, you know, anywhere from an hour to 2 hours, right? And that involved either be it gas or, you know, paying, you know, train fares or what have you. So, you know, again, those businesses suffered, right? Those, you know, the train fares are down and that kind of thing. But on the flip side, it has definitely put more money, disposable income, into the pockets of those people that do work from home.
Mm, okay. So it's about like a couple minutes left. It's like a minute left, but I wanted to share that we are in my office today. And
change the scenery, man.
Change the scenery.
This is nice.
Me and Tony, what do I doing now here? Because we're an extension of Muskegon Public Schools, MCEC, and we have some podcast equipment, and Tony works with the athletic department and the Muskegon fundraise, so I wouldn't bring just anybody up in here. He's part of the machine that's making this move because you work with board members in the athletic department, but also the financial realm of helping people. And we got three microphones, so pretty soon it's going to be some students from our program.
I would hope so,
coming,
man.
Asking about finance, man. You said it, man, yeah. And we brought it down to you because here at our at MCEC, our concept is city of school.
Okay.
So what's going on in the city that could be in the school? So if we got people that are financial planners and business owners like yourself that's vested in the school district, hey, why not put a kid in front of you like you do with me? Like I ask you questions all the time. Some of the answers I know, but I don't know them to the depth of you knowing. So that's why this show is called What Do I Do Now? But now we want to stretch it to where you're like, John, we got to get some kids. We got to talk to some kids. So what I did, I put the platform in my office so we can
do that.
Talk with the kids.
Absolutely, man. They need to know this.
Yeah, but about money matters. Yeah. So it's
you know, what's interesting is when you look at the IRS code for the Muskegon Public Schools, they are listed as the City of Muskegon Public Schools. That's how it's listed at the IRS.
So that's us, City of School. Yeah. Yep. So that's our thing. And what our administrator calls it, buy back the block, PK, he says. We ain't here to buy back the block, but we got to teach the people from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, we got to just we can't just be saying it's over here, it's over here. No, it's in your school.
Nope.
We'll put people in front of you in your school. So we're pivoting the paradigm so our students can get the best chance to having a better life.
Right. Yeah. Well, things are going to be different. You know, 2021, it's going to be different. But I think also it can be advantageous to the growth of this community, especially when you know, take advantage of the type of platform that you have available. And I think that overall, everybody's going to benefit from it.
Well, I see it. Well, that's our show today. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.